Amen. So we started talking a little series here, Gifts from God. And Gifts from God basically gets down to five gifts that God gives that make us invincible. Amen. Five gifts that God gives that make us invincible as Christians. And so when you understand what invincible means that you have a mission in which you cannot be stopped from. Amen. Now, invincible, again, we don't think about immortal as in we don't die. We want to think about invincible. You know you're immortal because you've been born again, amen? You have a new spirit from God which cannot be killed. It can't die off. You are what you are, amen? You are a child of the Most High God. When you say yes to God, you became child of the Most High God, and that is settled, amen? But now, God does not just save you. God gives you a mission. God gives you a purpose. God gives you he's designed you for specific things. When we understand that we're designed for specific things, we understand that we have a mission from God, then that mission God equips us for, we cannot be stopped from that mission. Amen? So we have to have a mentality of that. Amen? You have to have a mentality that says, you know what? I am equipped for everything that's required to get this mission accomplished. Amen? So the very first gift we talked about last week was the gift of salvation. And salvation cannot stand by itself. The gift of salvation comes with two other gifts. But let me back up a step. Let me cover this before we get to that point. And that is, when it comes to gifts, we're all aware that every human being is born with a series of natural gifts. Amen? We all have been blessed with gifts. When you were born, immediately, you were already equipped. Amen? You're equipped for survival in the earth. You have gifts and talents. Now, the problem for us most as human beings is that most of us have been taught that everybody has a talent, but most people don't have a lot of talent. So we grow up thinking that we see people over there, they're talented people. I'm not as talented as them. So if you ask somebody, say, man, I think you're a talented person. Oh, immediately that starts, well, you know, I don't have a lot. We start comparing what we have with other people have. Yeah. But what you're seeing is not a gift. What you see is actually manifestations of gifts. And there's a distinction between a gift and a manifestation of a gift. In other words, two people have equal gifts, but one, the manifestation is different, so we judge it based on the manifestation and not on the gift. Amen? So I'm able to play basketball, but obviously I did not play professional basketball. So you might gauge my ability to play based on whether or not did you become a professional. What's the manifestation of that? And you might miss the fact that I was talented. Amen? So that doesn't make a difference whether you are talented or not talented, gifted or not gifted. It's a difference in manifestation. Amen. So you hear two people talk and you say, wow, that person really has a gift to speak. We all have a gift to speak. The question is the manifestation, and that manifestation is not always the extent of the gift. So there's some of us who have gifts that only the tip of the iceberg is showing. But there's more below the surface. Amen. And so when you understand that you have an innumerable amount of gifts, there's no shortage on you and the gifts that you possess, that you have to understand when it comes to natural gifts, there is no limitation. You can learn how to do anything. I met a man taught his dog how to say words. Taught his dog how to speak. How do you do that? Because you can be trained if there's a capacity. And capacity represents the gift. So inside of you is no end to the capacity. The question is whether it's been cultivated, whether it's been brought forward, whether it's coming out of you. Now, natural gifts are fine. Then we have what the word talks about is spiritual gifts that come as the Spirit wills. Amen? So there are nine spiritual gifts. And we're not going to get into that because that's what we're talking about today. But there are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit can use to magnify your natural gifts and use them spiritually for His glory. Amen? Then there are ministry gifts. There are gifts that people have. And those ministry gifts become the ministry offices that you can stand in. So you have a pastor, or you have a prophet, or you have an apostle, or you have an evangelist, or you have somebody with the gifts of administration or other types of gifts. All those gifts are gifts to the body of Christ to fulfill different things that God has called to. But whether it's natural gifts, spiritual gifts, or ministry gifts, none of those gifts work properly without foundational gifts. And the foundational gifts are the things that qualify your other gifts to work properly. In other words, I have a nice house. But the stucco on my house and the construction that's built, the wood and the sheetrock and the piping for plumbing, everything else, all that is a heap of trash if I don't have a foundation. So the concrete that's poured is as critical as the most beautiful gold ornate thing that you have in your house. But we respect that, but because we don't see the foundation, we stop worrying about it. But let there be a crack in your foundation, and you will find out that all the gold you have in your house, you got gold-plated this and gold-plated that, you got crystals hanging all over the place, you got a crack in your foundation, a little shake of the earth, and it's all going down. So character and the foundational gifts are more critical than the things that you build upon. Amen. So you can be gifted and talented. There was a man who was extremely gifted, and all the world was admiring his gift, but he had absolutely no foundation, and he got to a certain point and fizzled out. And I don't even have to put a name with it, because you can all probably sit here and put a name with it. Because if you don't have a foundation, if your foundational gifts aren't in place, it doesn't make a gift difference how gifted you are in other ways. Amen? So you have to have a solid foundation. And there are five things that God has given the body of Christ, that those five things, when put in order, make all your other gifts work powerfully. They make room for your gifts to operate. They put you in position to do great and mighty things. But when you don't have those, things go bad. Samson was a gifted man, but he had a crack in his foundation. Amen? He had a crack in his foundation. He couldn't say no. And so because he couldn't say no, when he got in a position, God would have to come on him, have him operate, do something, and God would have to pull his spirit away because he couldn't leave it on him. Amen? So we have to understand that God's desire is for you to have these foundational gifts in place so that all the other gifts that you have can operate and do what God has anointed us to do. Amen? So the first thing we talked about last week, we talked about the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation, that God gives us salvation as a free gift. But salvation you can't receive just by anything. Salvation comes with two other things. It comes, number one, first and foremost, with a seed of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 basically say this. I'm going to paraphrase them. Basically, they say that we have received our salvation as a free gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It's we're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should be able to brag about it. So the very first gift you receive, you think about each of these boxes representing one of these five gifts, the very first gift you receive is the gift of salvation. But salvation, when you open the box, you say, oh, salvation. But there's something else wrapped in that box. Yeah. Amen? That's not the only thing that's in the box. You pull it up, you say, you know, it's like you on Christmas Day, you get that one box, and everybody's standing around, you open the box, and you get it, and you unwrap it, and the very first thing that comes out, you go, you smile, but you're thinking, this is what I got? This is it? And so salvation is like that, because you get the box of salvation, you open up and say, oh, it's eternal life. That's great. But I got challenges right now. That's beautiful. I'm glad I got it. I appreciate it. I appreciate eternal life, but right now, I got a problem I got to deal with. You might have to open the paper up. There's something else in there. Amen? There's something else in there. You better open that gift up and look in there deeper, because there's some more things in that box of salvation. And you have to understand what else is in the box, because you might just put the box aside. And you set the box aside, and then, you know, you walking around and doing things. You said, man, I sure wish I had a so-and-so. And you said, I gave it to you. It was in that box. I didn't see it. Yeah. You got to dig in there. You got to get in there a little deeper. Amen. Hey man, somebody gave me a card one time. I opened the card, I saw it, and I put the card away, and the little gift card was inside. It was slipped behind the envelope. Usually they put it in the middle. You know, they put it inside behind the card. I said, oh, that's a nice card. But they said, hey, don't throw that envelope away. There's something else in there, man. I gotta look back in this envelope and see what else is in here, amen. Your salvation is that way. Your salvation has more to it than eternal life. Your salvation is more in that envelope. There's more in the box. But you might have to dig through some paper to find it. And the papers you got to dig through is right here. Amen? Yeah. You're going to have to dig through this paper and find out what else is in that box, because there's something of value in that box, and you don't want to throw it away or cut it short or sell it cheap. Amen. There's more in this box, and you got to get a hold of it. Amen. Come on now. Let's go. Let's open this up and let's start looking at this. Last week, we talked about a couple of things. That first foundational gift is the gift of salvation. And in that gift, like he said, there's more to it than just the package, more to it than just that. You want to understand that when we got salvation, it was a very simple process. All you had to do was believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God has risen from the dead, and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Okay? That's simple. That's right? But first, you got to acknowledge that, number one, you weren't perfect. You're in need of salvation. You're in need of a Savior. The world teaches people right now that you are okay. You were born okay. I'm here to tell you was born a sinner. I'm here to tell you, I don't care what kind of little pretty hat they put on you. They don't care how they wrapped you up, put a beautiful cloth around you. You was a sinner in that, wrapped up in that blanket. Amen. I don't care how late your mama sat up when she was rocking your little cradle. Look at him. All people came around and looked in the bassinet and said, oh, look at him. He's such a beautiful baby. That baby's a sinner. He's a sinner. He needs to get saved. He's a sinner. And so then when the kid grows up and starts acting crazy, we say, what happened? Did the parents, did I do something wrong? No, you gave birth to a sinner. That's what happened. And now here he is doing what he does. Why? Because he was born that way. They're born under sin. Everybody's born away. Everybody's got something they're born with. But the thing is, God doesn't have to leave you that way. God already knows that we got born with problems. He already knows we got cracks and issues. He already knows that. That's why he said, you know what? I'm looking at the world, and I got to send my only begotten son into the world. So the Christmas season, everybody wants to say happy holidays. Nope. Merry Christmas. Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And this is the time I remember that this son has been given for me. Amen. This is the time I remember that God has given a gift, that he reminds me. And the world don't want to say Merry Christmas, because that means I got to remember I'm a sinner. I love what 1 Corinthians has said, that to some, we are a fragrance, aroma of blessing. To others, we're the smell of destruction. We're the smell of destruction to people who don't want to hear from God. See, as a sinner, I thought to myself, God owns heaven. I got the earth. Okay? So when it's time for me to approach heaven, then I'll think about that. But right now in the earth, I'm not worried about that, because I got things to do right here, right now. And so you don't think about that. Your mind doesn't want to work that way. And so when somebody says, you need to give your life to Jesus, what for? No, I got it covered. Don't worry about it. I got it under control. Don't worry about it. See, the mind of human beings wants to make itself righteous, but it's not. It's okay for me to do whatever. You know what? And we used to tell our friends, my friend's mother used to try to witness to us. She said, baby, you should come to church. You know? I said, nope. I said, this is what we're going to do. Mr. So-and-so, I said, me and so-and-so and your son included, we're going to have a party in hell. Because we're all going to be there, so we're going to have a good time. So we let y'all go to heaven, we're going to hell, and we're going to have a jolly good time in hell. But it don't work that way. It worked that way if you're in control, but you're not in control. And it's not like that. You ain't going to have a party in hell. It's not going to work that way. You need salvation. So the first foundation, God freely gives this gift of salvation. But you got to recognize that you're not going to be what you think you want to be. You're not in control of the universe. You can't make the determination on how hell is going to go. It's not like that. I did the same thing. I was going to the Marine Corps. Me and a couple of friends, we went to boot camp all at the same time. And we said, man, we're going to turn the Marine Corps out. It's going to be different when we get there. We're going to go with kids to boot camp because we ran things in school. So now we're going to go to boot camp. We're going to take over. No, you're not, because you're going to get there and find out you're not in charge. Matter of fact, sit in that chair and shave my head, took away my glory. What? You know how long I worked on this, bro? Yeah, cut it off. Let me go. You ain't charging nothing. Matter of fact, take everything you got, put it in that box. If you take it out, it's contraband. And then they show you a movie and tell you, scare you about you going to jail if you do anything wrong. What? I came to the Marine Corps. I'm trying to. Then, okay, now they strip you. Then, now we're gonna get to it now. No, you ain't. We're going to sit you in this room, and y'all, you're going to sit in this room for a week, and we're not going to even come get you. We're just going to march you to get some food and bring you back in the room and go, you one book to study, and that's the end of it. What?
I came to the Marine Corps to do something. Why are we sitting around? They handed you a little book. And some people read it and some people didn't. And then once they came and got us and boot camp was on, you found out who read the book and who didn't read the book. Because when the action started, if you read the book, you were ready. If you didn't read the book, you was, what are we doing? What's going on? Rifle, it's not a rifle, it's a weapon. I was supposed to know that. It was in the book. Tracy, am I telling the truth? It was all in the book, wasn't it? Everything you need to know was in the book. It's in the book. And our salvation, this book reveals the depth of your salvation. It reveals the depth of the gift. And sometimes you get a gift and you look at it and you say, oh, that's nice. But you don't realize how deep this gift is. And then one day you're minding your own business. You look at it. I say, I didn't know this thing could do this. Man. More is included. Amen. Amen. Let's dig into this a little bit. Let's get to this. We looked last week at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it said that God has revealed the mysteries of salvation to us by his Spirit. So the mysteries of salvation, you can't always perceive with your mind. They have to be revealed to you by the Spirit. Amen? And so we talked about in that passage in 1 Corinthians 2, and again, you don't have to turn there because I'm not going to get deep into this. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16, you can study it on your own, but it gets into eyes have not seen, neither has ear heard those things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen? So the salvation you have, your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard that depth of what God has prepared for us. It's revealed to us by his Spirit. And then verse 12 says, we have received that we might know, and what we might know is the things that have been freely given to us. Things that have freely been given to us. So there are things that God has created and made in our salvation that have freely been given to us. But if you don't dig it out of the book, what's going to happen is it's going to be like that extra part of that gift that's in the box, headed for the garbage. Because we all know after Christmas Day, what you're trying to do? You're trying to clean it up and get this stuff out of here. Okay? We're just trying to get it clean and just get it back to normal and get going, right? So what happens, salvation sometimes the same way. You get saved. I'm just trying, okay, good. I'm saved now. Let me clean this up and get back to normal. No. Don't get back to normal. You better get in here and get the rest of this gift out. You better dig it out. You better take some time. It may be a little messy in the room for a little while. Don't worry about that. Just take that time and dig out the rest of this gift. Amen? Dig it out. Pull it out. Amen? All right. Now, so today, last thing we covered last week. The other thing we covered was the promises of the old covenant. So we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we read through there, and all these promises Moses said that if you hearken to the voice of the Lord, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord and obey his commands, then these things will happen. And he talked about being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed your basket. He talked about if they could obey the old covenant, if they could just obey the old covenant, that they would be blessed. But we then looked in the book of Hebrews and it said that we have a new high priest, Jesus. Jesus Christ the righteous, who's ascended from heaven. And we have this new gift. We have him. And he's a mediator of a new covenant. A new covenant that's based on better promises. So if in the old covenant they were blessed by hearkening to the voice of the Lord, how will we be if we can hearken to the voice of the Lord with a better covenant based on better promises? Now see, what they had to do is they fell into sin. They had a problem. They had to find a ram or a bull or a turtle dove or something and take it to the priest, and they had to offer it up, and they had to go through this whole big thing about getting themselves back into the place of blessing. And Jesus said, you know what? I am the blood of the bull. I am the blood of the lamb. I'm the blood of all these other sacrifices and offerings that you made. With all those sacrifices that they had to continually make, I made it one time. I gave my blood one time. And with that blood, now I wiped your slate clean. And all you have to do is confess your sin, and you don't even have to tell nobody else about it. You can go into your secret place and say, Lord, I missed it. He said, don't stress. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But know this, that I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. My blood has covered you. And as my blood has covered you, you are clean. clean as the day you said yes to me. Clean as the day of anything else. You're cleaner than you were when you was in that blanket thinking you was holy. You wasn't holy back then. You was a sinner back then. But now I have made you holy and born you again. Hallelujah. When now people roll back the blanket and look at me now, when they looked at me back in 1963, when they pull back the blanket and look at me and say, oh, he's cute, but ooh, he's a little devil. I can see it. Man, you pull back the blanket now, you can say, oh, he's a righteous man. Praise the Lord. He's righteous. Why? He's been born again. That old born got him into sin. This newborn got him into righteousness. We have been made clean by the blood of Jesus. What a good and perfect gift. How should we neglect? Hebrews chapter 10. How should we neglect so great a salvation? How can we neglect it? How can we just take it for granted? How can we just say, man, oh, I got God, but I need something else? Nope. You're all I need. Call on his name, Jesus. Call on his name, Jesus. Call on his name, he will answer us. Why? Because I have been given every good and perfect gift. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our passage for the day here. We want to look at this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 is our foundation scripture for this series, and it is every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. This is powerful. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Last week we talked about good gift. Okay. In the Greek language, that phrase that's used here, good gift, refers to gifts that are beneficial. In other words, when I give you something and you say, oh, that's good, I can use that. It's beneficial, okay? So I may hand you something. You say, oh, that's nice. I can use that. So you get a gift. A good gift is something that you get and you can use immediately. A perfect gift, okay? A perfect gift is different. A perfect gift is a gift that is given with the intent of bringing you to maturity. So I got a good gift. It's nice. But when I get a perfect gift, it's growing me up. It's maturing me. Amen. So good gifts are obvious when you get them. You get a good gift, you say, oh, that's good. Thank you. But sometimes perfect gifts come and they don't look like gifts when they come. Wow. Amen. They don't look like gifts when they come. You get it, you go, what am I getting this for? And this is a problem. What is this? Nope. It's wrapped. It's a gift. You just don't know it yet. It's a perfect gift sent to perfect you. And so there are these gifts when they come, these perfect gifts, when they come on the scene, they come on and you look at them, you say, okay, what? I don't understand this. Why is anybody giving this to me? What is this for? Why is it here? And so for me, one of the very first perfect gifts I received was this woman right here. Okay, beautiful wife. Wonderful person. Got my attention enough. I want to ask you to marry me. Beautiful, wonderful. But we're married for 6 months, and I was in the closet getting a bag. I said, man, I got to get out of here. Woo! I got to get out of here, partner. Hutch, I got to go. Man, I had my little raggedy duffel bag and I was trying to get my stuff in there. I got to get out of here. Why? It's a perfect gift, but sometimes the gift was maturing me and I didn't know it. I was getting the little boy called out of me and I didn't realize that was what was going on. Man, I got a man up in here, but I sure would like to just run out. But a perfect gift doesn't always look like a gift. And so, wow, beautiful wrapping. Open the box. Okay, what's that? If you stick with the gift, then you get matured. Perfect gifts mature us. Perfect gifts bring us to another levels. Perfect gifts help us grow. Perfect gifts cause us to be able to look back and say, wow, I have been delivered. God has brought me to a new horizon, a new place. And sometimes we have those perfect gifts that work with us. And you go to work and that perfect gift is sitting across the desk from you looking at you. What you looking at?
Looking at you.
Why are you looking at me? And you, we're going to get into something, but sometimes that perfect gift is sent to mature us. Paul said, I had this thorn in my flesh. And I told God to remove it multiple times. God, take it away. And God said, He said, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. And my strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness. So that weakness that you're perceiving right now that you have to lean on me to deal with, that leaning on me is actually going to mature you and make you stronger. It's going to mature you and make you better. It's going to mature and make you more able to handle more things because, believe it or not, there are bigger, badder things out there that you will need to be equipped and prepared to deal with. Amen? So the good gifts and the perfect gifts, they are given to us from the Father of lights in whom there is no variation. In other words, God's not changing. So when he puts one of these gifts under the tree, he's not taking it back. So sometimes we get slick, we don't rewrap the gift and stick it back under the tree. No matter what, your gift is not going to get away from you. It's going to be waiting for you. It's going to still be there if you don't just take the gift and let the gift operate on our benefit. Amen? So salvation is this first gift. It is this gift that gives us. We have this Father who there's no variation or shadow of turning. God's not going to change. When God sets up his mind, he's got a purpose for you. He's going to drive you to that purpose throughout your life. He's going to continue to drive you to that purpose. He's going to continue to push you in that direction. He's going to continue to offer this gift to you. And if we can accept the gift, then we can mature and go to another level. Or we can increase our impact, or we can increase the thing that God has given to us. Amen? Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He's bringing us forth. God is bringing us forth by the word of truth. And so for us, this word of truth is this word of God that we're familiar with. It's this Bible. This is the word of truth that he's bringing us forth with. And as we continue to study this word, he's continuing to bring us forth. He's continuing to bring us and putting us into positions where the blessings of God not only reside with us, but they reside with the people around us because we can speak the truth. Amen? Amen. So let's get a little deeper here. Let's go to the next slide and want to look at two things. First of all, Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. And we talked about this last week, but I want to just go back to this. And we referenced this, but I want you to see it. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his saint, toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay, so what you understand is that the gift that God has given us of salvation, there are other things that accompany it. We talked about other things in the box and understanding that there are more deeper things that God has given to us. And we want to understand that because when we have those things, they are equipping us to minister to his saints. In other words, the gifts that I've received, the maturity I receive, are things that I've got from good and perfect gifts coming into my life. Those things then equip me to be able to minister truth to other people. Those things equip me and qualify me to bless other people. So sometimes our struggles in life that are really gifts wrapped up, when we overcome those things and we are in the position of seeing God's manifestation, now we're able to impart that truth to other people. We are able to impart to people how to break free of issues, how to break free of struggles, how to break free out of issues that are holding them or containing them. We're able then to minister them or to coach them through the process while they're going through their hard time. Because when I was going through a hard time, somebody was there to be able to say, just stay on the course.
to stay on the course. I've been there. Just hang. Continue. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. Keep on. You're doing the right thing, but I don't feel like the right thing. It's the right thing. Keep on going. Keep on. You know, you need those people in your life to continue to do that. And so what he's saying here is that God's not going to forget those things. He doesn't forget the fact that you're making that investment in people. And you may not ever get it back from that person, but God sees it, and God is going to bless you as a result of that. Amen? So salvation gives us not only that ability to have ourselves saved, but it makes us a blessing. Amen? So your salvation makes you a blessing to other people. Sometimes we're trying to figure out how to witness or how to talk to people about God. All you got to do is tell your own story.
Yeah.
Tell your own story about salvation. Boy, I tell you what, some people telling out your story, they say, ooh, I'm getting saved today. Man, you went through that? Yeah, sure did, man. I made it. Why? God blessed me, and I can make this. I can do something, man. I'll tell you, people find out your story to be shocked. Really? Really? Man, praise God. Let's go to the next passage. And I got a few passages. Write these down. We're going to look at these. We're going to skip that one. Let's go to John 10 and 10. Okay, John 10 and 10. When you get there, just say amen. If you're looking up here, that's cool too. Amen. John 10 and 10 very simply says, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let me go back to the beginning. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those aren't angels singing. That's something else. All right. The thief does not come to except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, so salvation, number one, we know that we have eternal life, but he's saying that there's a thief out there that's coming to rob from you, but he's come, Jesus's purpose was to give us life. And so Jesus's life in the flesh starts revealing more things about our salvation. His mission in life starts showing us the things that he came for. And when you see what Jesus came for, then you know what he's bringing to you. Amen. So the first thing he says, my purpose in coming, I came that they might have life. So the very first thing I know is that God did not come to kill me.
Amen.
Now, why is that important? Because God does not use things to kill you. God doesn't use sickness and disease to kill you or to scare you. God doesn't use that. That stuff's in the earth. It'll get on you if you hang around long enough. It's something will get on you. And you got to fight that. God's not authoring destruction in your life. Oh, I got this bad time because God did it. No. He didn't come to give you destruction. He came to give you life. Amen. Now, I may have destruction because there's things, destructive forces in the earth. There's destructive things in the earth. I may be dealing with the backlash or the results of destruction. However, that's not what Jesus came to do. And so I got to have that clear in my mind, because if we don't think clearly, you will start thinking that maybe God is trying to teach me something. God's trying to teach you something, but he's trying to teach you through his word. He's not trying to teach you through your circumstances. Amen. Circumstances are things that are created, but God is eternal. So I'm going to go through those. God's not using natural things to teach you. God's using eternal things to teach you, because you're an eternal being. Amen. So understand, he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's look at the next passage. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, more about what Jesus came to do. And it says this. Now, this is after Jesus came to Cornelius's house. So Cornelius was a non-Jewish person. Okay. So Peter is a Jew, and the Jews and Jews don't want to interact with everybody else. And so up to this point, only Jewish people have gotten saved. No Gentiles whatsoever. So then here's Peter, minding his own business, praying one day, and a spirit, the angel comes to him and says, look, somebody's going to come looking for you. Go to their house and do whatever they say. So when he gets to the house, he starts talking, and he's talking about what they need to receive in salvation. He said, now, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, why is this important about your salvation? You need to understand that, number one, Jesus came, number one, to free those that were oppressed. If we live in an oppressive situation, Jesus came to set me free from oppression. Amen? I should not be oppressed. I should not be oppressed. Amen? So if I'm oppressed, that's not God's will for me. Amen? God's will is freedom for me. Amen. He went about doing good. Jesus came to do good things. Jesus didn't come to do evil. Jesus didn't come to condemn people. He came to do good. So when we're out and we're as a church, we're stepping out, we're doing good things, we're fulfilling the work of God. Amen. We need to be doing those things. And when we do them, you can do them not just going and feeling sorry for people. You can go with the power of God. He went about doing good, freeing those who were oppressed of the devil, healing. Amen. He went with power. Why? Because God was with him. And when my salvation, one of the things that I'm told in my salvation is that I have the Spirit of God with me. He lives on the inside of me. And because he lives on the inside of me, there's no limit to what I can do. God can give me creativity that I don't have. God can give me understanding I don't have. God can give me a compassion that I don't have. So I'm not a compassionate person. Yes, you are. Why? Because God can create it in your spirit. He's with you. He can give you the love that he has for people. God can give you the understanding that he has for people. God can help you give people wisdom to get out of situations or out of circumstances. But we got to be believing of that thing. Now, next passage, and we're going to cover two more passages, and then we're going to close out for the day. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. Jesus has been tempted, and he comes to the synagogue one day. And when he gets to the synagogue, he comes, and they hand him the book. Now, you got to understand what's really important about this. In the synagogues, only the rabbis were allowed to teach. In other words, you couldn't just roll in one day and say, hey, man, I haven't been to Bible school, but I got a word. No, you don't have no word in the synagogue. Rabbis talk in the synagogue. You're going to sit down and listen. Amen. They didn't allow that. But for some reason, Jesus, who is a carpenter, never been to theological school, never studied with the rest of the Pharisees, he walks in and they hand him the book to read. So they understand, wow, this guy's something else. He's not ordinary. So they hand him the book to read, and he opens up the book, and this is what he opens up, and it's a quotation from the book of Isaiah. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And they handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord." So the first gift God gives us is salvation. The second gift God gives us is mission. Mission is a gift because mission defines your purpose. And so sometimes we look for purpose outside of mission, but your mission is always a gift that is given to you. And so when Jesus is standing here, he's been through temptation, he's been through the other things, but then he declares to everybody else what he's here for. Mission allows you to say, when other people tell you, you need to do this, you say, well, no, my mission is this. Mission allows you to make decisions. Mission allows you to say what fits and what doesn't fit into your life. Mission allows you to cast off things that are binding you because you recognize those things are not taking me to the mission that God has called me to. Mission is what defines how we live and why it's a reason why I say no to things that are around me. Mission helps me make the decisions I need to make when it gets hard. Mission helps me stay established when everything else is calling my name. Mission is what gives us the ability to fulfill what God has for us. Mission is a gift from God. Mission is a gift. And so when Jesus stood up here, he said, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I didn't get the Holy Ghost just to get the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost for a purpose. I got the Holy Ghost for a mission. I don't have gifts
just because. I have gifts for a purpose. I have gifts to help me accomplish a mission that I'm on. And so I didn't know why I had this. And again, it gets back to that little, I'm about to mix up my services here. Man, praise the Lord. Anyway, you heard of Swiss Army knife, right? So the Swiss Army knife, they give to a guy because he can put it in his pocket. And inside that Swiss Army knife, he can flip out something else consistently and do something else with it. Amen? It's the little MacGyver tool, right? You can do anything with this thing, right? You got a Swiss Army knife and duct tape, and you can conquer the whole world, right? That's all you need. You got those two things. That's all I got. That's all you need. But the thing about the tool is that, man, we got to open this bottle. I got a bottle opener right here. So, man, we need to start a fire. It's a flint right here. Man, I got to cut this string off my, I got scissors. Everything is in there. It's all in there. And the only thing, the only restriction on the tool is what the mission is, what needs to get accomplished. The tool is complete. You don't need it. Man, it's a bottle of wine. I know you had a bottle, but it's a bottle. It's got a corkscrew in there. Check it out. Boop. It's got everything in there. But because it has everything, you can accomplish your mission without worrying about whether you got what you need, because you got the tool that's got it all. So I'm not worried about mission. I got what I need to accomplish what I have to accomplish. I have exactly what I need. Now, I may have to polish it. I may have to shine it. I may have to cultivate it. I may have to develop it, but I got it. The hard part is trying to get it. Once you got it, you can do whatever you want to do with it. And so understanding that your salvation has with it a whole range of things that bless you, and understanding that the next thing from there is God giving you a mission and giving you with your salvation everything that's required for you to accomplish your mission in the earth. You say, well, I don't know what my mission is. Well, you start with walking in love. If you don't know what your mission is, then your first mission is to walk in love. That's your very first mission. If you don't know what else to do, man, I'm going to have to just walk in love. What does that mean? It means that when I was working somewhere and I was new to God, trying to figure out what my mission was, what's my purpose, what are my gifts? I'm trying to figure all that out. I'm asking all those questions. And then one day I opened my Bible and I saw a piece of scripture, Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? And so I just took it and I started using it. So I took my job that I was working at. I was making $6.50 an hour. And I just said, I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. And so I started doing that job as unto the Lord. And all of a sudden, my gifts began to operate because I was doing it as unto the Lord. I was treating it as a worship to God. And so I'm operating. I'm just doing what I do. I'm just doing what comes natural. And I'm just saying, you know what? Man, these people need to get their mail on time. I give them the mail. Go love on the people. Go on. I go in this place. Go, hey, I'm bringing some joy. I'm going around because I was working in the mail room, right? So I'm going around everywhere and I'm just delivering mail and just blessing. I'm not thinking about other people. I'm just blessing them. I'm just going to just bringing, treating it like it's a gift. Man, I'm bringing this as yours. Here's for you. I'm just bringing it to them. And all of a sudden, my gift started making room for me, because now what happens, the word never works by itself. It always works in tandem with everything else that's in the word. So there's a passage of scripture that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great people. Amen. So I'm just making my work of worship. And all of a sudden, another principle of God starts kicking in and it starts blessing me. And so next thing I knew, I got promoted. How did I get promoted? How do these people know who I am? I'm not trying to talk to nobody. What's happening? How did this work? It just worked because I just worked the word. Amen. I used the word and the word took on. It took its own life. It started doing what it does. And so that's what we are all about. We're trying to get the word in our spirits. And then what happened is that began to cultivate the mission. It began to open the doors. And when God opened the door, then I know what the mission is. God opens another door. Now I open know what the mission is. But I don't like that mission. Doesn't make a difference. You like the mission, just take the mission. The mission's a gift. It's a perfecting gift. This mission is going to be a perfecting gift. Just take that mission, let the mission work, and God will open up a new door. And eventually you're going to see what a blessing this first one was. Amen? Amen. So the first gift is what? Salvation. The second gift is what? Mission. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the gift of mission. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that everyone here today, God, that you would continue to clarify in our hearts and minds our mission and the blessing of our salvation. We thank you that your word is rhema to us. We thank you for this word speaking to us, giving us new wisdom, giving us new insight, giving us new understandings. And we thank you that your word is going to prosper in our spirits. We thank you and give you glory for all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.